Good morning, and we're on session 7, and it's pray with your own understanding. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, your level of communication with God greatly increases. The Bible instructs us to pray in the Spirit and also with our understanding. So for now, we will survey the topic of prayer that is simply of your own mind and your own will. Although many people pray to God in their own way, it is important to understand what God is seeking from us in our talks with Him, which are our times of prayer. And, you know, that's something people don't understand. They think you got to sit in a corner, put your hands together, and pray to God. You know, it's just talking. And that makes it so much easier. You can do it anywhere you're at. You know, when I'm doing the dishes or blow drying my hair, that's when I'm really, I think, the most in tune, because I'm stopped and I'm doing one thing and my kids aren't screaming and, you know, I'm not having to confront them and cook supper and do all these crazy things, you know, all these tasks. So that's when I have the time to quiet myself enough to sit there and have a conversation where I'm constantly listening for Him to respond to what I'm saying. I mean, I'm supposed to do that all day long, and you do develop that, and I do that more and more. But, you know, you always can do better in that area as far as being aware of God's presence all day long and just communicating with Him. When something comes up, God, what do you think about that? You know, and sometimes our souls can get so busy and focused on something else, you forget to, you know, ask. I'll go an hour or two sometimes and think, oh, wow, I'm disconnected. You know, and it's just like this, oh, I haven't even talked to God. So, and you'll develop that the more you spend time in His presence and in His Word. Okay, so speaking with God or prayer, it's vital for every born-again spirit to communicate with their Father through the Holy Spirit. As you have visitation with God, He will lead you and help you with wrong attitudes, fears, hurts, and other issues of your heart. He will give you the wisdom, guidance, and bring healing to your heart and mind. As you hear His life-giving thoughts, you will find yourself increasing in joy, peace, contentment, wisdom, courage, and love. As each encounter leads you and you cooperate in obedience, you will overcome obstacles in life. This will help your natural will, which is your flesh, learn to crave the voice and presence of God as much as your spirit does. So hearing His voice, He will speak to you as you persist in your talks with Him and as you listen patiently. Learning to recognize His presence and thoughts as He responds to you often takes time. The more often you make effort to listen, the greater the responses from Him will be. So then we need to know about how God speaks to people. Does He use an audible sound you can hear with your natural ears? That is possible, and Scripture records rare moments when God did speak audibly, but that is out loud where He can hear, or you could be heard with our natural ears, so you could hear Him with your natural ears. But most frequent way is the inspiration of Scripture. It is the revealing of truth hidden in plain sight. The Bible becomes His living instrument of rhema truth. He also speaks directly to your heart in prayer. He gives thoughts that suddenly answer you without your thinking them. This statement will make sense when you experience it. I experienced this week. I mean, I've experienced it before, but the last time I've experienced it, I remember it. And I was getting ready, and there was some this specific thing I was praying about, and I prayed about it, and then I just kind of left it on the back burner, and I quit questioning and asking about it. And when I was in the shower, it's like it all of a sudden hit me, and in my heart, it was like, and there was the answer. You know, He spoke directly to my heart, and I knew, it was just a knowing that I know that this is the answer. This is the way He says to go with this thing that I was undecided on. I couldn't see which way do I go with this. And He answered me, and I wasn't expecting it. I was just entertaining His presence, you know, setting my mind on Him, but not in that specific thing, just singing and worshiping, and that came to me just all of a sudden. So He'll do that for you too. So just keep praying. And at those times, He'll answer you whenever He's ready or you're open to hear it, okay? So developing faith that leads to answered prayer. How do we get answered prayer? Of course, this is what most people want to know. How does God answer our requests, especially when we are needing help in a crisis? However, a person must always remember that God is not a genie in a lamp waiting to grant your request, nor is He your personal trump monkey, ready to pop out when you press the release button to relieve you from your troubles. He is your Father who came to earth as a man for the sole purpose of rescuing you from eternity in a fiery hell. So now that He has redeemed your life, His will for you is to seek His purpose for your life and thankfully live it out. So number one, first, certain truths must be accepted before you can do this. And the first one is God is not a man that He should lie. So when you ask Him, you have to know He doesn't lie. You know, we can ask opinions of people and you can find out that they're wrong. Or they can totally just lie to you, right? To gain your favor or acceptance from you or whatever, or to look smart. But God doesn't do that. He's going to tell you the right thing, and it's always going to be according to what His Word says. You know, when you get an answer, is this consistent with what God says in His Word? Because He's not going to contradict what says in His Word. That's how you can know. God is not a man that He should lie. And then B says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So if you know that, God's the author. So there's a book that's being written about my life. He authored it, and He knows the beginning of it. He knows what I'm in right now, and He knows the future of that book. He is the one that wrote the end on the end of it. Because He's not limited by time, He's already in eternity. He's already at the end seeing what's happened all along our walk. Okay, so He knows the past, present, future. And He's authoring that book every day, but it's already written. He's not doing it every day as we make choices and say, okay, she made this choice and He's writing it down. It's already been written. So when we pray, if we have that principle in place that He's already written the book, not writing it now, and I'm not the one that is writing it, I'm making the choice to go along with what He's already written, then when you pray, you can be confident that He's going to answer you and tell you what He's already written for you. That's the best way for this story to end, right? Okay, so then you have to know that if He tells you no, no is an answer. And we always want what we want. So sometimes we can get fussy and mad and be little brats and, you know, well, I want this thing. Well, maybe it's not the right time, or maybe it's not good for you and you don't have the perspective He has on it. And He sees that next page of the book or the next chapter where this decision you're wanting Him to say yes to could hurt you in some way or hurt somebody else in some way. So we don't have the full understanding. He's God. We don't have His full perspective. And so when He says no, or He doesn't answer and say yes, we just have to trust that it's for our good, because He says what? He works all things for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. So if you love Him, you're obeying Him, you're seeking Him, you're trying to understand, asking Him for guidance, that shows that you love Him. And then you're going to obey Him, right? And you are the called. He's called every person. You just have to answer it, right? And know what that call is. And that's His will, purposes for you. And then you have to know that God is never wrong. So when we get that no answer, sometimes we want to say, oh, God, I just don't understand, because this looks like exactly what I need. But He's never wrong. So when we're reading Scripture, if you believe in the beginning God, if you believe there's a God, He created the world. He has ways of this world working properly and ways of us living a blessed life and living the right kind of life. Then you have to believe in His Word when you're mind comes in conflict with something the Spirit says from the Word, that there's something you're missing. God's not missing on anything. There's a scripture that says, where do I need to go that I need to be instructed by someone? That's a question from God to us. So you're saying you know more than what I know, and you're unhappy with the choice I've made for you. So do I need to go to school to be instructed in this area so I can better instruct you? That's pretty arrogant of us, huh? He's God. He made everything that's in existence. Don't you think that He can handle our little bitty problems we have? They seem major and traumatic to us. And some things are, but He knows exactly how to handle those because He created you. He knows how you respond to things. So when you pray to Him, He will guide you and lead you through those things. And then if you didn't get the answer you want, check the question. Sometimes we can be asking the wrong question, you know, and God's saying, but why don't you ask this question? This is the real thing, the root of your problem. Ask this. Ask me this, you know, and He's pointing this thing out. And you're like, no, but God, what about this? No, you need to ask this, because this is going to unlock this. So we just need to trust God, okay? He's never wrong. He does not lie. He knows what He's doing. So there may be times in your walk you will need Him to do something. Maybe you'll need a miracle or a healing. You may need favor with a disgruntled family member, a boss, or an employee. There are spiritual gifts that function in the church for this purpose. You will learn more about them in the Believe sessions. God will also meet your needs through your own simple faith-drenched prayer. Okay, so there was times in my early walk when I moved here and I didn't have the finances I needed for something. And so I would be praying to the Lord, like, God, I have no idea. This, what I have is not enough. I have this, this, and this. I have a bill coming up. And if I tithe this money, I'm not going to be able to pay my bill. Or I won't be able to get groceries or whatever, you know. And so it was hard for me to tithe. But when I would do that and say, okay, God, You said to tithe, give you the first fruit. So the first check I would write, I would deposit my check and put it in my register. And the first check I would write, just as an honor, just to always keep in my heart that this is God's, the first check I would write or first purchase I would have underneath that deposited money was my tithe. And so when I started doing that and doing that faithfully, my kids would need shoes or something. And one of my friends that afternoon did not know my kids need shoes and pulled up at my house and said, Zach has these shoes that he outgrew. There's 3 pairs. Do you think Austin could use those? And I was like, yes. And that was an answer to prayer. She didn't even know. But God knew I needed that. And I didn't have the money to buy him a shoe. And one of those pairs fit him. So he had shoes. Now, you know, I could have been like, no, I want brand new shoes. But I didn't see it that way. I'm not a materialistic person. But I saw it as God providing for me when, you know, there was no way nobody could have known. And that afternoon, boom, I needed him that quick. So I needed him to do something for me. Like, God, I'm in crisis. I need it now. My son's toes are touching the ends of his shoes. And I cannot go get him a pair of shoes. What am I going to do? But God knew that afternoon he was going to send somebody. He was going to put it on that person's heart that knew nothing about it. Just, oh, maybe Austin can use these. That's something I couldn't have done on my own. I didn't know that she had shoes that, you know, he could use or that could fit him. So there's times that'll happen. There was times I didn't have the money for a bill and nobody knew about it because I don't tell people my business because I don't want them to know. And there would be an envelope sitting on the table going out the door from church and it would have my name on it. I'm like, what is that? And so I would open it and there was the amount I needed for that certain bill. And it had a little note with it that said, God has never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. So because I was made right in Christ and I was seeking God and obeying him and doing the best I knew how to do, he moved through somebody completely. I don't even, still to this day, I don't even know who did that. And gave me that promise that you're seeking my kingdom first. So you're not going to beg for bread. You're going to have everything you need and I'm going to see to it that you do. And that was just God proving himself to me in my young walk that he was there. I mean, that first 2 years, he did some things that I couldn't explain because it didn't happen to me before I was saved. You know, so that was evidence of God to me because it was prayers in my heart, and I was seeing the manifestation of the answers through people that didn't know anything about, and I still don't even know some of them. There was gift cards sometimes with $100 on it, and I needed groceries, and it was to Walmart where I get my groceries. I mean, come on. That's only God that can do that, right? So I just wanted to share some of those simple little practical things that are miraculous that we don't look at as God. But when you understand God is sovereign over every day of yours, he's watching over your day. He's watching over you. He's waiting for you to speak his word so he can perform it. Speak his word in prayer so that he can meet your need. You know, when you pray, it moves God. That faith, coming to him as a father, God, I need. And he's going to answer and respond to that. And he's going to give you what you need. Doesn't mean you're always going to get what you want. But as you're obedient, these things that you haven't even asked for are going to come to you. People will bless you with stuff and be like, I didn't even know I wanted that, but that's awesome. Thank you, you know? And that'll happen too. So, okay, so you will not get a yes to every request. No is a good answer. In the Gospels, Jesus instructs us to ask for what we need. In the epistles, which are the letters to the New Testament churches, we are told that we don't have what we need because we don't ask. And that when we ask amiss. So we need to ask him for what we need. We do. We just, oh my gosh, I'm in so much trouble. I don't have this. I don't have that. But we're complaining about it and griping and feeling like fear because we don't have it and frustration. And then you hear in your heart, why don't you ask me? Oh, God, I didn't even think about asking you. I didn't even think about taking this need to you, the God of all the world that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, he knows every bird that drops. I mean, come on. He can't meet my little bitty need of a pair of shoes, you know? And then it says that when we do ask, okay, so I finally asked, I asked amiss. Maybe you ask for the wrong thing, something that's outside of his will. So if there is a no, you might be asking something that is not his will for you. And you have to be okay with that no because he knows what's best. So it's a right request, but for the wrong motives. Jesus told us one thing is certain. If we ask God for what he already wants to give us, his will, then we can be sure we will receive what we ask for. God only hears our request when we are in agreement and he examines our motives before cooperating with us. So it has to be according to his will, his desires. So something you can ask him is, God, give me your desire in this area and make my heart willing to obey you in it. But first, give me your desires. Because I don't want to have my own desires going in here and be asking amiss. Because that's just a waste of time, a waste of energy. So if I just ask what your will is, you can make that clear to me. And that's a desire of your heart. It's according to your word. And then it says, then he examines your motive. So this thing that you're asking for that's according to my will, what are you going to use it for? If you're asking for influence, asking for a place of where I can minister to people, what is your motive behind that? I didn't ask for where I'm sitting right now. I didn't want this spot because I don't see myself as somebody that can do it and do it well. I feel unqualified. There's so many things in my life, if I looked at my flesh, my old man, that would disqualify me to sit here and talk to you two. But God judged my heart, and he knew that it's not about me at all because I'm not a person that wants people, you know, to pull people to me and to be a teacher and, well, look at you, you're so good, and to compliment me. I stray away from things like that. I don't like it. I don't want that attention. I do it because what I've experienced in my own walk with the Lord, I want to be able to give that and pour that out to other people. So when I spend time in God's presence, there's just an overflow there that you want to give to other people because you see that they have the same struggles or, you know, as women, we have a lot of the same struggles and it's usually something to do with emotions and putting them aside, right? So out of the things that I've learned, I want to bless other people with, I mean, I don't have like what Miss Cindy has. I'm not at that level, but at the level I'm at, the experience I have with God helping me through things, I can share that with y'all. And then that can give y'all some wisdom to say, okay, I'm not going to walk the way she walked, even though I could do that and say, oh, well, you learn from experience. No, you can learn from someone else's experience and use wisdom and say, okay, they went this way. It turned out this way. Okay, so I'm going to choose a different path. I'm going to go to God's word, like she said, and I'm going to do what God says instead. So it can save you a lot of heartache, okay? So he examines, is this my will? And what's her motive behind the question she's asking me or the thing she's wanting me to have or to okay in her life? So James 4:3 says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay, so a selfish motive equals disagreement with God. His first desire is to always work for our good. We can trust our benefits to him. Let God handle what is good for us. A no is always for our good. That thing we're asking for could hurt us, and he knows. Okay, so we just trust God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's a principle you need to know. When you come into adversity, a trial, some kind of hard thing in your life, God's allowed this situation. He's okayed it. So there must be something he's trying to teach me. That's the first thing you should think. God, you've allowed this. So what's going on? What am I supposed to be seeing here? You know, when we enter trials and suffering, it's always for our sanctification. It's always to teach us something, always to make us become more like Christ, because it blesses us to become more like Christ, right? Then we're able to persevere through anything and become mature in our faith, where those things don't move us anymore. We can just plow right through it, even though the emotions are there, but by the Spirit, we can just march through it. And that's what God wants us to be, a resilient people that can get up and help others, because others may not seek God like you do to get the freedom you get. And you see people around you walking around like zombies and hurt, and you know, things have happened, traumatic things that maybe you've gone through, and they're suffering in it. They don't know how to get out of it. And you've pressed through, and you've made God your God, and you've gone to him and gotten the answer, the strategy to get out of it. And then you're able to come alongside them and say, look, this is what's going to work for you. Come on. And you get beside them, and you yoke up with them, and you carry that person that's not as strong in their faith as you, or it doesn't see the way out. And then when you do that, you have just such a peace and a joy, because you're receiving God, you're receiving love, you're receiving all these things from him, and you're pouring it out to other people. And there's no greater fulfillment than that, is to feel the love of God flowing through you. I promise you. Okay, so when you ask for what God wants to do, it's an automatic yes. So discovering the will of God is our first priority for a healthy prayer life. 1 John 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he does hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. That's powerful right there. So you sit in his presence, God, what do you want? He tells you. And then you can be sure that it's going to happen. And then Matthew 7 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So that right there, it's important to know what the will of the Father is, right? To pray and ask him, so you're not going off in your own will your whole life. And then you get to heaven and say, well, Lord, and he's going to say, I didn't know you. You never asked me for my will. You didn't do my will. You never came to me in prayer and asked, you know, God, what am I here for? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, not reading his word, not. So there's no relationship. And somebody that does have relationships is going to want to pursue and ask God what your will is, because they're never going to be satisfied with that lower purpose, that thing that they used to do. It's going to rub at them and eat at them now, you know. That thing I used to do, it makes me feel horrible inside. God, what's your way? And then he gives you his way, and there's a peace that comes with it. Like, wow, I didn't see it from that perspective, but that's so much better than what I used to do, right? And you'll get more and more freedom doing that. Okay, so when you're praying, the name of Jesus is required. All authority is placed in his name. Another very important precept is to pray in the authority given to the Christian through Jesus' name. John 16 says, in that day you will ask in my name, this is Jesus, I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. And then Acts 4 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Philippians 2 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So pray in unity or agreement with heaven and other believers. Matthew 18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is speaking about the authority of a believer, that whatever you bind a spirit in your life, a spirit of fear. I bind you, you spirit of fear. It says that when you bind that, it'll be bound in heaven. You know, what's in heaven, you have access. There's no fear in heaven. So when you ask for that with your authority through Jesus and what he's done for you, it's released from heaven, and it's bound on earth as it is in heaven. And then whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. So in his name means it has to be his will, right? You can't say, in the name of Jesus, and it's not in his name. It's not written in his book. It's not the will of God. So don't think you'll get anything that you ask for. So John 16 says, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. There's nothing greater, no greater joy than receiving something you've asked for, right? You've prayed to God, asked him for something, and you receive that thing, and it's like, wow, there's such joy because it's that hope, that thing you're hoping in, it comes to you. And there's a joy when you have a hope and it gets answered and you meet that hope. You know, you come into one with that hope. It's manifested. Here it is, this thing I desired, I wanted. And there's a joy with that. And he wants you to have that joy according to his will, right? So ask in faith. Faith in what we are asking opens the heart of God. It excites him when we simply believe his will and respond in faith to it. Faith and answered prayer are inseparable. So you have to believe what you're asking for and that he is willing and able to give it to you. Mark 11 says, I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So it can't be intellectual. It really has to come from the core of who you are, from the Spirit of God. James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. If you don't know the will of God, you will go back and forth, flopping back and forth. You know, is this your will, God? Is this you talking? I mean, you'll have these false things in your head that are not God, but you don't know what God's word says in that area. So you're going to continue to be frustrated and be, you know, just, all the time. Because you've got a divided mind. So you have to figure it out. You have to say, God, and wrestle with it. God, what is your will in this situation? And when he does that, it brings clarity and it brings peace. Okay, now I know, and a confidence and a boldness. Because when God says it and it says it in his word, you can't tell me any different. Because God said this. Who are you to argue with God? God said it. And then it settles it in you. So know that God's will and timing are perfect. He is an 1159 God. He often waits until the last second to stretch our faith to the limit. He is always right on time. His time. Two other types of prayer that we're going to talk about are intercession and thanksgiving. Prayer that is interceding for others. That's what we're talking about first. Intercession is praying for others. Sometimes even believers need prayer covering. They may be under a demonic attack. They may be struggling in an area and need spiritual intervention. Your prayer gives God permission to send ministering angels on their behalf. There may be times when you feel a strong need to pray but have no idea what you should pray. Praying in the language the Holy Spirit gives you allows your spirit to come into perfect agreement and pray the exact will of God in the matter. Sometimes there's needs in my life I don't know. God, I have no idea how to solve this. I don't know your will in it. I don't even know how to pray in this moment. And that's when he says that you use your prayer language. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the gift of speaking in tongues, and that's that language that prays from you to God. It's God praying for you, his perfect will. And so when you do that, sometimes immediately he'll start giving you an answer to what you were praying for. And then for other people, when there's a situation and God, this is beyond my wisdom, I don't know how to pray. You pray in the Spirit, and you pray, and it sends angels on their behalf because God's praying for them. So that's wonderful to not have the pressure that I have to know how to pray in my own understanding for this situation or for another person because it's too complicated. I don't have that kind of wisdom at this point. So you trust it to God. And then there's the prayer of thanksgiving, which is also called praise and worship. An emotionally and spiritually healthy person enjoys expressing deep, heartfelt gratitude. God encourages expressions of joy and gratitude for his goodness towards you. Worship him because he is wonderful, gentle, powerful, mighty, and just. Anything good that you think of first came from him. If it's good, it's from God. He is so amazing. Think about his majesty, how it fills the heart with overwhelming joy, deep inner peace and quietness of heart. When you speak those things to him, it is praise, and as you thank him for it, it's thanksgiving. The interesting thing is, the more we do this, the better we feel. That is just how God wants it. When we praise him for his kindness toward us, his kindness he sowed into our hearts grows and grows. Worshiping God increases our joy. Worshiping our self-interest makes us miserable. It may seem to satisfy our desires, but it will be temporary, where worshiping God brings lasting peace. So make the greatest part of your time in prayer, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. So we have some exercise questions. So give an example of a time when you experienced worship like this session described. So the two types, right here, it was the last part, the praise and worship. Is there a time that y'all maybe have experienced this? Like you were going through a hard thing and you just decided, God, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to grieve. I'm not going to get focused on myself and this problem. I'm going to focus on the answer, and the answer is praising you. So you start thanking him and praising him for, God, you've met my need in this area. You are the God who meets needs. You're the God that delivered me from this. You're the God that oversees my kids. You're the God that gave me everything that I have right here, my home. You give me food every day. You give me strength to work, to get up in the morning. Your mercy's new every morning. When you start doing that and get your focus off of you and the problem, and that the answer is in praise, it shifts you out of yourself and out of your flesh into the Spirit. And then when you're in the Spirit and you're praising God and you're thanking him, it redirects you and it gives you that peace that passes all understanding that they talk about. And you can know and stay there trusting that God's working that thing out that you need help with for your good. And sometimes you'll get an immediate answer, you know, in response to your praise and worship. But it shifts the atmosphere of your heart back to God and not your problem. And that's where the peace comes in. Just getting your thoughts back on God and the things that are good and of praise. They're praiseworthy. They're noble. They're of good report. They're of the kingdom of heaven, you know, which is like the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, patience, kindness, humility, gentleness. So when I focus on doing something for somebody else, that's focusing on Christ. That's focusing on the kingdom because I'm getting out of my selfishness and I'm walking in love. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So that's how you get your focus back on God and on Christ, is doing the will of the Father. And it's to be kind, right? It's to be gentle. It's to love people. So it just raises you up out of yourself, and then that peace comes. And it's like, wow, why was I so engulfed in that when I can have this? Okay, so something you can do at home, it says write out names of people that you want to begin to intercede for. And so once you do that, God will start putting it on your heart during the day. That person, that maybe a picture of their face will come up, or in your heart, you'll just feel that name come up. And then you just ask God, why'd that name come up? What do you want me to do? And if you have the prayer language, you just start praying in the Spirit, and God may reveal to you something they're going through. He may reveal the exact area to pray for, and then he may not. You may just pray in the Spirit until you feel a release, like, okay, that's good, it's done. God's prayed the will, it's okay. So you might want to make a list of people that you want to intercede for, okay? And then number 3, commit to your memory. Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you're going to have to constantly redirect and fix your eyes on Jesus. There's a picture of like those race horses. When they're in a race, to keep them from stumbling into the next lane or looking at the other horses beside them, that'll get them distracted and keep them from running with purpose and fast with their eye on the finish line, they have these little shade things. Okay, I don't know what they're called, but I call them shade things, okay? And they're like this, and it's to blind them to the left or right, because God says, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, focus straight ahead, fix your eyes on me. So that racehorse can't look. All he sees is this blinder thing, so he don't want to look that way. It keeps him focused straight on that goal, and he knows that he's going forward straight, and there's a purpose at the end of it, and he's gone. And none of this stuff distracts him, because if we look to the left or right, somebody might be running that race quicker than us, or there might be people behind us, and if you look back, you might get tripped up and fall, stumble, and get into the other lane, and then make other people just stumble everywhere, right? So fix your eyes, stay in your lane, do what God's called you to do. Fix your eyes on Jesus, constantly in prayer. God, what's your will? Let him lead you, okay? And then number 4, what are the 3 types of prayer that were in this session? Okay, so pray with our own mind and will, our own understanding of what God's will is from his word. So it says it in the word, so I'm going to pray this. I understand, God, this is what you want. And then the other is intercession for other people, and then thanksgiving, praise and worship. Those are 3 different ways to pray. And then number 5, what is one reason the Bible gives for an unanswered prayer? We're not asking, and you know, God, is this your will that I'm praying? So we have to find out God's will. And when we're not, we're praying the wrong thing. And then what was another one? We come to him maybe not fully believing. Maybe we have doubt and we're not fully decided that this is the will of God, that God did say this thing. So then when you go to him, you're not going with confidence like he says to. You're going with, God, is this your will? And don't think that your prayer is going to be answered when you're not certain. And he doesn't do that to punish us, but he wants us to know when we come to him, he's a good father. And the promises that he has are yes and amen. So if he said it in his word and you come to him, he's going to say yes to it. And he wants you to come like that to him, knowing, God, you said you'd provide for me. You said you'd take care of me. You'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. I'm confident of that. So although I see this stuff around me, I can't meet my bill. I can't, I don't have a job. I'm at a loss. You know, I can't find a job and all these bills are piling up. You said you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. So I'm coming to you, God, boldly, knowing that that's what you said. And you're not a man that you should lie. You're never going to lead me in the wrong direction. And you're going to provide for me because you provide for the little birds of the air. You know, they don't even work and you provide for them. You've given them everything that they need in this earth to live. And every day you provide sunshine for them. You provide trees for them. You provide a worm for them to eat and feed their babies. So why should we worry? You know, come to God knowing that what he says is true and that he's going to provide for you. And then we ask amiss. We ask the wrong question, like you said, with the wrong motives. You know, we're asking for something that's not God's will, and then we're asking with the wrong motives anyway. We want this thing because it serves us. It doesn't serve God. It doesn't serve other people. So we want to make sure it's God's will, right? So we can get our prayers answered, or it's pointless to even pray. But thank God, you know, when you do ask amiss because you're just ignorant, and, you know, he understands we can be ignorant until we get in agreement with his will. Just thank God that those prayers don't get answered, because he's not going to answer a prayer that's not according to his will. So no sweat there. You don't have to fear and be like, did I ask him the wrong thing? Oh gosh, this thing's going to happen. No, he's not going to give you that thing because it's not good for you. Okay? And then number 6, faith and blank blank are inseparable. When you come to God in faith, he answers your prayer. So those two things inseparable. If you have faith and you ask, he's going to answer.